Radio.
Hey guys, this is Mike. Before we start the podcast, there's a couple things I forgot to mention in the podcast until much later, but I want to tell you up front. First, go to pharaohaudio.com/survey and take this survey that they have. It's absolutely free to take, but if you take it, you can win like $100. So that's pretty good. Make sure you click on I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek as one of your podcasts that you listen to. Second, this podcast audio has some issues with it thanks to the doctor, Kim Miller. She plugged in her Yeti mic, but she also had her earbuds on. And guess which input source the computer used? That's right, her earphones. And we didn't figure that out until after the podcast, so you'll hear me talking to her about snakes and stuff like that. We lose the transmission for a little while. It's kind of a mess, but this is a good podcast, so I want you to listen to it. It's a lot of fun. And finally, make sure that you tweet us at Mike McCafferty, at Flibbidip, and check out our Facebook page. It's super cool. Here's the podcast.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
With Red Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kiff.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
James, the war is forced upon us. History repeats itself.
It has to be now. We're starting. Kim, we're starting right now.
Ah,
I know.
I have notes.
If you guys realize the amount of time it took to get Kim ready to start up on this, you would be flabbergasted. But you know what? It's worth it because Kim is insightful. She better be.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Mike McCafferty. This is a show called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. And who? I'm talking about the doctor, but what's your real name?
Ruth.
Ruth. No.
Kim Miller.
Kim Miller. Kim Rumi Miller. Okay, so I've got to go to my kid's, his parent-teacher conference in about 45 minutes. So we're going to do kind of a quick episode here. But in fact, because the Super Bowl was yesterday, and it was a great Super Bowl, exciting. You watched it, right, Kim, of course.
Yeah.
Very exciting, unless you're a Falcons fan. Sorry, Chrissy. But it was exciting, and it sort of falls into what I've been thinking about recently was that I was watching, I can't remember what it was, but it was with some historical figure from Star Trek. And then I think you and I started talking about Abraham Lincoln and all the weird historical characters that popped up in the Star Trek series. And so I started tabulating it, and I realized we had enough that we could go ahead and have sort of a Sweet 16 battle of all the historical figures who have ever been in Star Trek. And so, Kim, what did I make you watch? What did I make you do in order to prepare for this?
You gave me an extensive list of all these characters spread across three series.
Three series.
And I went back and watched ones that I haven't seen in a long time, and I watched ones that I've never seen, Voyager included.
Oh, see, this is good. So here's the problem is that I tabulated up, and I've got 15, and I added kind of a wild card character, and they're all spread across three different series, Next Generation, the original series, and Voyager. There's no historical figures, as far as I can see, in Enterprise, in Deep Space Nine, or in the animated series. Mm-hmm. Or in the movies. Now, when we talk about historical figures, we're talking about characters who actually have existed in our timeline. We're not talking about Zefram Cochrane. We're not talking about T'Pol and any of these people. Kalis, who is in the Savage Curtain, I might add. We have a
I forgot about Zora.
Oh, God, Zora. Yeah, the Zora, the silent one. Zora.
The high def one. Oh, my gosh, her makeup.
Oh, her makeup and Lincoln's makeup, too. Wow. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
The Excaliburs were not good on fine detail, were they? Okay, so let me break this down. This is how I did it. So I got 16 historical figures, and we're going to put them into the first round. They're going to do head-to-head battle. They're going to go back and forth. And we're going to decide which one wins, and they're going to the second round, the third round. We'll have a final, all right? So I don't know if I'll get through all of them today, We'll see, but this is very, very exciting. And I think
how
I know.
How did you choose how to pair them up, by the way?
Well, I just, what I did initially, like I took them all and I listed them all and I said, well, how do I, you know, who's the first seed? You know, if we're doing like a basketball tournament thing where you have like the 64 fight each other and you do, you know, who's the first seed? And at first I did it by like, who's the most powerful? So I said, okay, well, Apollo would be the most powerful. And then I guess Genghis Khan and then, you know, Lincoln.
What about actual historical figures?
Well, I know. I'm putting Apollo in this because
you believe in the Greek gods.
I do. There's a lot of statues of him there all over the place. You've just been to Rome. You've seen the statue of Apollo, have you not?
I believe the sun passing through the sky is the wheel of his chariot. What?
I will negate you from this podcast just as I've negated Jason Nicaris because he was the first one to voice this. It doesn't matter. Apollo exists in this universe. He exists in our universe. He had, at one point in time, he was as real to the Greeks as you and I are now. So I'm going to buy into that. Zephyrin Cochran. There are no statues of Zephyrin Cochran right now that I know of. So there will
Khan
be
Khan then in here if he's also in our world.
Who?
Khan.
Well, but see, here's the thing. It's like Apollo is a character. I mean, mythological, I presume. I mean, we don't know, right? I mean, you know, how do we know? I mean, I've never seen Genghis Khan in real life. Have you? We've heard about him, but Khan is a fictional creation of Star Trek. Apollo is a creation of this world moving forward.
Fine.
Yes, it is fine. It's completely correct. These are
Since
my
you
rules.
Have a parent-teacher conference, fine.
Yeah, we're moving forward because I have a parent-teacher conference in about 40 minutes, and we'll have no discussion about that at this parent-teacher conference. Maybe I'll ask him. I don't know. All right, so here's how I seated them up. Here they are. So originally I went for the most powerful, and that didn't make a lot of sense. So then I kind of went by who had the most screen time, who was the most prominent character, kind of went loosey-goosey on that. And then we went from that point on. So number one is Apollo, of course. Number two is Abe Lincoln. Number three is Mark Twain. Number four, Amelia Earhart. Number five, Da Vinci. Number six, Stephen Hawking. Number seven, Albert Einstein. Number eight, Isaac Newton. Number nine, Sigmund Freud. Number 10, Gandhi. Number 11, Lord Byron. Number 12, Jack London. Number 13, Genghis Khan. Number 14, Socrates. 15 is Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday put together. And number 16 is our wild card, which is the American flag and the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, you did keep that in.
I did keep that in because I don't care. Because here's the thing. At the end of
I think you're just itching to do that speech.
Tall words written louder than the rest. With a pride never seen before and since. We, the people, the United States, in order to form more perfect. Yes, of course. Because at the end, I watched at the end of Omega Glory, and I sent you this clip. And Kirk has this long, longing turn right before they're supposed to leave after they totally decimated this planet society. And he looks at the American flag, and the American flag seems to look back at him and almost nod in acceptance of what he's done there. You watch that scene. The Star Spangled Banner is playing in the background, and Kirk sort of gives a nod. He's proud, and the Constitution is nearby, or the preamble, I should say, is nearby, and the American flag says, "You did a good job, Kirk." So I'm including these guys in there. But okay.
Fine.
These are my Sweet 16, and we're going to go over them, and you're going to debate them with me, and then I will, you know, crown the winner, of course. So this is a very fascist version of the way I'm doing things. So you have a chance to counter argue if you
it's
wish.
A dictatorship.
It is a dictatorship. It is. It is because I'm running Bottertown. There's no question about it. I am Master Blaster on this. Okay. So the first round we have Apollo versus the American flag.
Oh God. Okay.
This could be an upset. This could be an upset, Kim. Let me hear some arguments on both sides. Let me hear
it's
what
too
you
too abstract.
No, it's not.
Why did I waste my time watching all these other ridiculous
episodes? Well, we're going to go down. We're going to go, you know, we're going to go match to match. That's how we're going
to
do it.
What's the criteria that would make one superior to the other? How it was portrayed or like how accurate it is?
I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know.
That's a more thought than I put it. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I mean, we could do it by like who had the best performance, the best acting performance.
Okay.
And we could also do it by like who was the campiest, most delightful to watch.
Or which has like the most emotional impact or dramatic impact in the episode.
Yes. Yes. So let's argue each one over. Let's just decide who we want to push on. I think we make that decision. So who do you want to see go forward, Apollo or the American flag? What, you pick one and I'll do the...
I'd really like to see more of Apollo.
Oh, my. See, you... See,
I like him.
You like that he has no shirt on. That's what you like.
Well, yes.
Yes. I accept that as an axiom. That's
I
fine.
Thought he had a very nice performance. I was genuinely moving at the end. First time you see him, second time you're... So many things to make fun of, but I really liked him in the episode. It's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, mine too. And I think he does a really, really good job. I mean, I think Michael Forrest does a great job at it, and the pathos that he displays is nice. So now let's go on the other side. Let's talk about the American flag and the Constitution. I'll do the counter argument, and I say, you know, I mean, they're not living things. But that's okay because neither is Abraham Lincoln in this, right? I mean, you know, technically, or Genghis Khan, I mean, or Doc Holliday. I mean, all of these are facsimiles. So why not the American flag? Why not, Kim?
Well, I think you could also argue that it has an emotional impact in its
episode. This could be an upset.
It's the focus of a lot of attention and a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah. But I'm still going to say Apollo. What are you going to say?
Apollo.
Okay. Apollo's through the next round. Okay. So this is, all right. This is the second round, or this is the second match. We have Isaac Newton from The Next Generation versus Sigmund Freud from The Next Generation. Now, Isaac Newton was also in Voyager 2, and I watched both of those. I forgot to tell you about that. He pops up in Voyager. But this is the 8 seed versus the 9 seed. So... Now, you watched Freud and the Isaac Newton one, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think? This is a tough one.
Freud. I like Sigmund Freud. Well, first, I had forgotten that he reappears later in that episode, the Next Generation Phantasms, season 7 episode.
Good.
And in the first scene where Data just goes to him because he's having nightmares, portrayed as kind of this goofy, silly character. Very obviously holding up a cigar.
Yes, yes.
And Dana's saying, or he says, you have a desire to possess your own mother. It's like, but I do not have a mother. Do not interrupt. Yeah. Kooky.
It goes to high comedy very quickly, doesn't it?
Yes. And then I appreciate later on when he calls Data on his belly phone, kills them all. So in that respect, I enjoyed.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Ridiculous.
Well, you know, when Sigmund Freud calls Data in his stomach and tells Picard to kill them all, you're going to win a lot of votes from me. That is going to win
yes,
a lot.
Exactly.
I liked
there
it too.
Warnings of the dangers around us.
I liked it when it's very subtle, and I was hoping they're going to go that whole direction. But when Data says, "I pulled out a knife," and he says, "How long was it?"
I know.
I was like, oh, there we go. And then everything else becomes dick jokes after that. So it's, I mean,
and then he ends up getting killed by these interphasic organisms represented by the three workmen. I'm like, okay, he had an interesting showing in this episode.
Right. So he did a good job. Now, Isaac Newton, to be contrary to that, he was in the card game, the poker game. Mm-hmm. I believe it's in Descent. Where Data is playing with Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, and Stephen Hawking. And Isaac Newton's kind of like a little churlish on this, don't you think?
Very cranky.
Very cranky. It's like you have a very short window of being alive, computer construct. I mean, you should relish this, you know, instead of just being like a jerk.
When Hawking goes, not the Apple story again. Yeah. He gets all angry.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the weird... I watched the Voyager episode too, And in the TNG, there's like, well, that's a largely apocryphal story. It's like, well, yes, we all know that, right? In the Voyager episode, there's a Q. There's two Qs. There's John DeLance, and then there's like another Q who wants to kill himself, of course. And he pulls up all these witnesses that like he's manipulated like Earth's history. And he brings up Will Riker and a guy who saves Woodstock and Sir Isaac Newton, with whom he's sitting next to him on this tree. He jostles the tree and makes the apple fall on Isaac Newton's head, thus inspire him to create gravity, or to create gravity, to
he's amazing,
to discover gravity. But in the Descent episode, they clearly say that's an apocryphal story. So what's going on here?
Alternate timelines.
Alternate timelines. I know. This is the Kelvin timeline, I guess.
What's the name of the Voyager episode that Newton said? Do you know?
I just want something. Death like Wish. I think it's called Death Wish. Yeah, I believe it's called Death Wish. I'm gonna say Freud. Freud was the 9 seed. Isaac Newton's the 8 seed, but Freud's a lot more fun. Newton is, he's got his stories all mixed up, and he's kind of a jackass in both. So we're gonna say Freud wins this one.
Yay!
All right. Next round: Amelia Earhart from Voyager, the 37. Versus Genghis or Genghis Khan, if you listen to Hardcore History, which I did. There's a long podcast about Genghis Khan. He always calls it Genghis Khan.
I think a Mongolian say that.
Yeah, then you might be right. Yeah, like Genghis Khan. Oh, and Doctor, I'm going to give you a shuffling warning. I can hear your microphone.
Uh-oh.
It sounds like you're in the Well of Souls with snakes everywhere. I'm sorry.
Shuffling warning.
Well, whatever you're doing, you're making a little.
Whoops, sorry.
So, yeah. Okay. So, that's much better. Okay. So, Amelia Earhart versus Genghis Khan. Did you watch the 37? Did you watch that episode?
I did.
Yes.
I kind of appreciate. I know you're not crazy about that episode. I appreciated that she wasn't portrayed all goofy and campy. She seemed she was played by Sharon Lawrence very sincerely, which I kind of liked.
She did a good job. She wasn't,
hey, ladies, we're kicking ass in the 27th century or whatever.
Right, yeah.
She's very genuine. Like, I can believe that.
It was a very believable performance. I have issues with the episode itself. And it reminded me, because that's the first episode of the second season. And did you watch the whole thing or did you watch this?
The whole thing.
So the thing that bothered me about that episode, I don't want to jump into it too much, but it was one of those cracks in the Voyager mythology, which kind of was like, I don't know if I like this that much. First of all, they spent way too much time like kidnapping the Voyager crew and sitting down there. It's like, I don't know, we're going to put them in these tubes and let's do this. And I got a gun. And it's like, I don't know what's going on here. But at the end of the episode, Janeway gives the crew an option, like stay here in this really, really cool place with a bunch of humans, or spend 75 years going home. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And no one takes them up on this idea. Right? I mean, it's like, and it's very heroic and beautiful. But out of like, what's the crew? It's like 150 people. Somebody's going to say, I'm going to stay here. What the hell, right?
Yeah.
It felt a little unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, we should have had maybe one guy.
Like one guy.
he'd be like, oh, great. I'm the jerk.
I was actually just like checking off some barrels here in the cargo bag. I'm going to stay.
Why did you bring your luggage?
Yeah. I could put my stuff in the barrels. All right. Meanwhile, Genghis Khan is terrible. He may very well be Hispanic. I'm not sure. He's a big guy in big goofy clothes. I think they took him from Spock's brain. Looks like a very similar outfits. Put him in some skins and have him say nothing.
I was just rewatching it just now before you called me, and there's this moment when they're all standing in a cluster together and talking about how evil they all are, and he's just standing there with his hands politely folded in front of him. Like,
I don't know if either Genghis Khan or the actor knows they're on Star Trek. I really have my doubts.
Genghis Khan does. The actor does not.
he's like, I'm just going to ride this
later on
out.
When they start fighting, he tosses a boulder at Spock, and it looks like he's passing him a basketball.
It does. It does. He throws it low at his legs. He's trying to cripple him, not kill him. You know, I mean, that's the Mongolians were known for their bow and arrow work. This is actually true. I listened to like a 5-part series on this, and they were great with riding horses using bow and arrows. That's why he threw a rock, right? I mean, you know, so he was kind of a disaster. And when we come to Abraham Lincoln, I'm going to give you a little piece of I'm going to share some information I saw on that, which was
I'd say this episode alone deserves its devoted podcast.
It does. It absolutely does. It podcast.
So rich.
It is. It's better than I thought it was and worse than I thought it was at the same time. Kirk is a genuine ass in this. He does absolutely everything that's wrong. Yeah, let's beam Lincoln on board. Sure, what a good idea that is. His subordinates argue against him beaming down to the planet, and they're right.
Save it for another podcast.
So let's push Amelia Earhart through. She gets through easily over Genghis Khan. Then
if you look at it for comedy, then Genghis Khan definitely wins.
Well, but even that, he doesn't do anything funny. He's just like a goofball who's just like, and like, what does he run off? I think he runs off. That's his deal. he just runs off like the greatest warrior of probably all of Earth. The greatest conqueror
in almost all of Asia.
Away. The guys in the yellow shirts are too powerful. No. Okay, so.
All right, Amelia.
Amelia goes through. We're going to pass her the next round. She deserved it. She did a good job. Next, this is going to be one of my favorites. Da Vinci from Voyager, John Rhys-Davies.
Yes.
Versus Jack London.
Ugh.
23 Skidoo. that's a long time.
Collie, mister.
23
Skidoo.
Yeah. I don't know. He just seemed like that. It's like, I'll tell you what I'm going
to
do.
Wormhole to the 20th.
I have to be honest. I haven't watched Time Zero. I haven't in a while. So you're going to have to fill me in.
Recently. God. It's excruciating.
Meanwhile, I hadn't really seen Concerning Flight. And you just saw that. I haven't seen that one for a while. What were your thoughts about this?
It's interesting. Concept the ship is just scanned by some ships who beam off all their technologically valuable items, including their main computer processor.
Yeah.
So they track it. They spend 10 days, according to the voiceover, tracking it down to this planet. And then because Janeway was in the holodeck running her Da Vinci program, which apparently she does all the time. I don't know. It's the first time I've seen it. So it seemed like it was something she does occasionally just for fun.
Right.
As that program was running at the time the processor was taken, and they also took the doctor's holo emitter down on this planet, there's Da Vinci running around.
Right. It's a lot of legwork to get Da Vinci running around, right? It's like, Jesus, wow.
But then again, I love John Rhys-Davies so much that I was willing to go along with quite a bit just to hear him speak. I love his voice.
He is so good in this. This episode, I wanted to like this episode more, but it's a little bit lazy because the aliens just show up, take whatever they want. Then they just kind of leave. Voyager shows up. They don't take their stuff back. They have to like infiltrate and sneakily get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the bad guys are like the slowest moving bad guys because you have John Rhys-Davies and
a middle-aged woman and they can't catch them.
And they can't catch them running up the side of a mountain. And John Rhys-Davies or Da Vinci's big plan is to run up this hill where he's put this hang glider.
Yes.
And they're going to get away. And they do. They get away.
It works.
They get on this weird like leather / Teflon enforced hang glider.
Katarina, I took your advice and I made the wings longer.
Well, it looks like the angle's right, Da Vinci. All right. And then like the bad guys, they shoot one shot at them and then like they watch them like inexplicably fly away in this.
They've never seen flying machines.
And they just like stare at it and then it gets beamed away. So it's a very, it was a lot of legwork. And Da Vinci, like, arguing back and forth with Catherine to, like, let him stay there or, you know, we will go up this hill, Catherine. But
Katarina,
we'll go up this hill. But you know what? It's John Rhys-Davies. He goes to the front of the class. Forget Jack London. Da Vinci all the way.
Yes.
All right. Next one, we have Abraham Lincoln versus the cast of Westworld, a.k.a. Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, and the other two guys, names I don't remember. So we can save a little bit of Lincoln and just, like, discard these guys. We watched Spectre of the Gun recently, you and I, and Jason, and it was better than I remembered. We talked about this in an earlier one, but their performances, at good and creepy, don't merit anything beyond, like, robotic and whatever, right?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, on the other side, we have Abraham Lincoln, who is just spectacular. This is going to be, So
own dedicated podcast.
I know. We're going to do the Savage Curtain very soon, but this was really good. So I'm just going to say, let's push Abraham Lincoln through. We'll say goodbye to Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday.
Yeah. They were pretty creepy.
They were creepy. Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, at first I just thought it was
fit into the world very well.
Yes, they did. Yeah. When I watched it as a kid, I didn't like them because they were kind of mean and they had no depth to them. But now I see that, like, the actors themselves were probably playing from a suggestion from the director to play it very kind of stiff and mechanical. Because they all do it. They're all very, like, just black hats.
Like facades, like all that.
Right,
town
right.
That they're...
Yeah, so and like even like the barkeep, who's like a lot more animated, is he can't think beyond a certain point. So I actually appreciate their performances a lot more, but they're not going to beat Lincoln. I'm sorry. I am. Oh, boy.
Lincoln fighting. Oh, fantastic.
Well, I'll just say it right now. If you watch that fight as they're watching on the monitor when the four first fight. First of all, he defeats Kalis. Abraham Lincoln out wrestles Kalis. Kalis, the father of Klingons, the guy, the best warrior of all time. And then later on, you know who else he beats? He beats Genghis Khan. He out wrestles him too. He takes the Serac, not very useful. If you watch the chronology of that fight, he takes on Kalis. Boom, he's out, like Kalis takes off. He cannot stand the 16th president of the United States. And then as Serac is having a tough time with Genghis Khan, Abraham Lincoln runs over and saves his ass from the Mongol horde.
I did notice Spock having a very difficult time with Zora.
That was a lot of woman there. She had the furs on, and he was trying to be respectful because... Her backstory is a little mysterious. I guess she did a lot of experiments, kind of a Joseph Mengele kind of thing, but
obviously with cave people, apparently, because she's dressed like a cave woman.
This is true. Yes, she skinned her victims
her boots, and wore them. Yeah. Her mini skirt.
She's wearing that outfit from A Private Little War, it looks like. right? Like all the furs or Mary, like Marriott Hartley wore later on in All Our Yesterdays. Yes. All right, So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but that's okay. Lincoln. Next, Abraham Lincoln goes through. Next, we have Albert Einstein versus Gandhi. Did you watch that Voyager episode?
I did. Darkling, right?
Darkling. It's just that one little segment where Gandhi and Socrates and Lord Byron are all dicking around with the doctor. It's like a really weird...
Yeah, the doctor puts them all in a program so that he can study their best qualities and hopefully incorporate them into his own programming.
Yes, and this is sort of an echo from Data's idea to either talk to Freud or to have, you know, play poker with, you know, the greats. Mm-hmm. So we have kind of a cameos from both of them. We have Einstein and Gandhi. You talk me through this one, Kim. I'm going to let you decide this one.
Well, with Einstein in The Nth Degree, the episode with Barclay where he super-duper expands his brain, Barclay and Einstein are working on a complicated equation, right? And that's all you see of him.
Yes.
And then in Descent, that's when he's in Data's poker game.
Yeah, kind of a little cameo there.
And he's also played kind of goofy, like he's not very good at math or something.
right, yeah.
A little kooky.
The dumb Einstein. You know that one, right?
The one sticking his tongue out.
Yeah. Yeah, can't count to seven. So,
and Gandhi in The Dark Lady, it's such a short scene. He's played pretty straight, talking about overcoming carnality and relationships between men and women. And passion is meant for procreation. All right.
All right. Well, it's, but he had a bunch
more
of kids.
The Einstein character.
So we're going to Einstein? Should we do Einstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel about that.
I do like how Gandhi tells Lord Byron to take a cold bath.
Yes, yes. I think the snakes are back, Kim. I'm going to be honest with you. I hear the snakes again.
Oh, damn.
Holy smokes, my friend. Asps, very dangerous. You go first.
You go first.
You're just doing an homage. I get it. I get it. Okay, so here we are. We are at Mark Twain from TNG versus Socrates from Voyager. We were staying in Darkling.
Ah, definitely Socrates, because Mark Twain is like nails on a chalkboard across two episodes. Oh my God, he yells all his lines. So annoying. So. He cut his scenes in half. Oh.
Now, madam, if you please, I will give you a bit of information, if you don't mind.
Madam Guinan! Like, see a scene where he's talking with Deanna, and she's talking, you know, in her usual voice. Well, madam, blah, blah, blah! Like, oh my God!
Prevarication is not the most wonderful thing, but the deed is done. That is the end of season five, is, like, somehow, you know, like, Mark Twain discovering them. Isn't that how it ends? Nevertheless, the deed is done.
Yeah.
So Socrates doesn't have any lines.
Much better. Listening to Mark Twain shout at you over two episodes.
I see
him very briefly playing like Jenga or something with T'Pau, which is kind of cool to see T'Pau again.
I know. It was weird to have like Socrates and T'Pau just sort of playing that, you know, strange, like, you know, nine-dimensional Jenga. And having no lines, just like random guys there. So you're going to push...
Later on, when they go back, you see him that he's been cut in half, like a magician's assistant, and he's just empty inside. So freaky enough that I would give him my vote.
Okay. This could be dramatic. This is Mark Twain, the number three seed. He has two full episodes. He interacts with Guinan and with everybody. And you're going to push Socrates over that.
He also made those two episodes almost impossible to watch, single-handedly. So
wow.
That's why I would rather have non-speaking Socrates.
Wow. I was going to push him through just on the merit of the fact that he was in so much, but you are really, you know.
He's the reason those two are hard to watch, because it's kind of a cool concept.
It is. It is like they're stealing. I don't know what the hell they're stealing. But... All right. Well, I'm going to go with you then. Mark Twain, in an upset, is upset by the silent one, Socrates. This is outstanding. This is great. Okay, so now we come to our last match of the first round, and that is number six, Stephen Hawking versus number 11, Lord Byron. Also,
this is tricky because he's actually a current living person. So, what sort of criteria do you hold up?
Well, it became, you're right. As much as I can justify Apollo, I can justify Stephen Hawking, you know, I mean, because it's like, well, I mean, I know. Well, because that's a real living person actually portraying himself in Star Trek. And so if we're going to buy into that, we can also buy into Apollo, which is a mythological character. The realities are suddenly split.
Don't understand this reasoning.
Because we have the real Stephen Hawking with fake Albert Einstein and fake Isaac Newton, who's played by two different actors over two different episodes. So, like, what's the difference then if we have that? I mean, are they historical figures? Are they actors? I mean, because we have two actors and one like actual person playing himself.
Acting.
I'm allowing it. I'm allowing all of this. I'm just telling you. I needed 16, you know, I was stuck with like 14 for a while. I didn't want to split up like Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp and, you know, all the holidays, and it was just dumb. So we have the American flag, we have Stephen Hawking, we have Apollo. I don't care. This is how we're rolling today.
In this matchup between Hawking and Lord Byron, I think I'd rather see more of Stephen Hawking.
Yes, yes, that's the correct answer. I will side with that. So
Byron, all he really talks about is just, you should have passion in your life. You might as well be free of humanity if you're free of passion.
You have such a good memory on that, Doctor. But you wrote that down.
Notes.
Yeah. You took notes. I just sit here and I just talk.
Oh, you can do that. I get stumped.
when I get stumped, I just don't answer. Like, you reminded me that Einstein was in the nth degree, and I forgot about that, and so I didn't say anything. Like, that's right. Yes, he was. Like, oh, boy.
You're just looking for the slightest opening to launch into to ordain and establish.
This is all leading up to my Constitution speech. I am very much excited about that. I love that.
So please feel free.
I know. These words and the words that follow must apply to all people. They mean nothing. All right, I don't have it right now. Okay, let's move on to the next round. So that's the first round. We have done the first round, and we have Apollo, we have Freud, we have Amelia Earhart, we have Da Vinci, Abe Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Socrates in the upset, and Stephen Hawking. Did I just activate Siri when I said Socrates?
No. I'm trying to make a note here and I accidentally hit the little microphone.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Let's move on to the next round because we are running out of time. I have about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. This is going to be a fast episode. Apollo versus Freud. There's so many implications of this, aren't there?
Apollo. I want to see more of his powers.
Well, I think Apollo, because he has such a strong, I mean, Freud was very strong in this episode, but he was a little gaggy. And Apollo has such a great dramatic emotional turn, you know, it's so sad at the end. He's crying. Yeah. He's shirtless and crying. How can that ever be a bad thing?
Shirtless and crying. I would watch Who Mourns for Adonis again before I watch the Phantasms episode.
Well, I don't
as much
know
as I enjoy answering a phone in his stomach, I'd rather see Apollo.
We need to do a Phantasm episode too, because that is pretty awesome.
It is the source for so much of your opening sound effect.
Someone want to answer that damn ringing? All right, let's say Apollo.
Peptide cake.
With mint frosting. Yeah, it's so good. All right, so we're gonna put Apollo over Freud. That's okay, we can do that. Yay. Here comes a tough one: Amelia Earhart versus Da Vinci.
Da Vinci, that's not tough.
Well, she's the only female character we have. I mean, like it is so. I mean,
but it's John Rhys Davies. It's Sala.
I know, but we've got it. I'm probably gonna agree with you here. I mean, but she does a good understated role in this. Mm-hmm. One of the things that bothers me a little bit about not her performance, but the character, is that Amelia Earhart, an avid explorer, would choose to stay on a planet where she's not going anywhere.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, and wouldn't that have been great if like, oh, Amelia Earhart, you plot a course to Cestus IX, you know, I mean, they have these opportunities.
Just keep calling her Amelia Earhart.
Yeah. Full name. This episode is a little bit of a pullback to the neutral zone too, when they thought those three characters, those three, you know, 20th century guys, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to sing you a song, Data, like those guys, you know. And I would have loved if they would have kept those characters on. And some of these guys from the 37, although like four of them don't speak, right? I mean, you have
the farmer guy, the black farmer, mm-hmm. the Japanese soldier.
What am I doing here?
You're all speaking Japanese. Fred Noonan and Amelia.
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah, I think Fred, whatever, you know, someone. And then we have the Hindu woman and the Scandinavian guy.
That's right.
Like standing
them
in the
back of the scene.
Just in the background. I think there's a red-haired girl too, like some Irish lass. just to fill up the ethnicities. Oh, and by the way, Kim Miller, who is, you are half Japanese, will say that. Neelix, when they're on board Voyager, what do they serve the Japanese soldier? Oh.
And for you, rice, a bit of fish. Oh, thank you. I cannot digest anything else. Come on. Although he probably would like that. But I'm
yeah, well, you know, it was... It's not too racist, but it certainly was kind of like, well, you know, he might like hamburgers. He might just like hamburgers, you know, like, oh, I hate sushi, but thanks for, you know, really nailing down my ethnicity really hard there, Mr. Neelix.
For you.
So are we going to say Da Vinci over Amelia Earhart?
I think so. He's such an interesting character, Da Vinci, apart from being played by such a cool person.
I think he carried the episode. I think if you pull him away and you put someone else in there, it makes the show so much worse. I think if you put someone else as Amelia Earhart, the show suffers but doesn't falter.
Yeah.
Plus, we just love John Rhys Davies.
Fiery personality.
Yeah, I know.
Animal. Yeah.
All right. Next, Abraham Lincoln versus Albert Einstein.
Oh, come on.
I know. Do you still measure time in minutes, Captain? And he says, we can adjust for that. Like, what are they measured in? They do measure in minutes.
400 years from now. You guys still use minutes?
Well, they have a little chronometer in, like, the naked time where they're counting down minutes. Like, you know, you have three of your Earth minutes. Like, oh, we don't use that anymore, Baylock. Sorry. We use space minutes. Yeah, they're really different.
Space minutes.
Lincoln on board the ship is probably the best thing of all time. He's just wandering around. He's just like looking at like the power system, you know. I mean, like I played Benjamin Franklin recently in a commercial for Toyota, which they didn't air during the Super Bowl. We were like, oh, maybe they'll air for the Super Bowl. They're still paying me for it. I don't know what they're paying me for. I've never seen it on TV.
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it on TV? Hello? What? Have you seen it on TV?
Yeah, saw it.
Oh, I've never seen it. What? Where did you see it? Where?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, so are you.
There's something on network television.
Okay, well, I made money off that. So, but I dressed up, I was dressed as Benjamin Franklin. Now, let's say I go to the White House or like maybe to like maybe the USS Enterprise parked outside and, you know, San Francisco or some Navy destroyer. And I tell the captain that I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'd like to come inside, walk around and take a look at your nuclear power plant. Is that okay? What percentage do you think? What's that? You are fading out.
I can hear me.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh no. I had such a good joke set up. I was so excited about that. And you probably didn't hear any of it.
No, I didn't hear it. Shoot.
Oh, damn it. All right. Well, the rest of you heard that. It was a really good setup, wasn't it? I was very, very excited about that. All right. So let's just go ahead and say this. I think it's going to be Abraham Lincoln over Albert Einstein. Yes. Time is ticking away, but it was a good setup. It was about me dressing up as Benjamin Franklin going into like a naval destroyer and asking to see the nuclear reactor. So, all right. Meanwhile, Stephen Hawking versus Socrates. Philosophy versus science.
If Socrates had had a few lines, it'd be more of a choice, but I think it'd have to be Stephen Hawking.
It's going
to
be Stephen Hawking. So he did a good job. He was so overjoyed to be there. He's the greatest mind, and and he was just like, you can just see the joy from him. So I don't mind, you know.
Yeah.
So
it'd be funny to see him like in a scene with Q or something discussing.
Yeah, exactly.
Physics.
Yeah. Okay. So we're on to... Snakes, Dr. Snakes.
Excellent.
All right, here we go. Moving on. We have, let's see, we got through that round. So, we're in the semifinals. We have Apollo versus Da Vinci.
Oh, I still have to be Da Vinci.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know. I think Apollo's emotional content is so strong for this. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you may persuade me in that respect.
But
I'm such a fan of John Rhys Davies.
All right. Well, I'm surprised by this. I mean, maybe Da Vinci is going to win. I mean, he's so good, and John Rhys Davies is so good, and we are listening to his entire oeuvre of work, aren't we? You know, I mean, we're listening yes. to him as Gimli and Sala and Treebeard and the Doctor from Sliders. I mean, everything that is good and wholesome about science fiction and fantasy runs through John Rhys-Davies. So, I mean, Michael Forrest does a great job, but maybe you're right. Maybe
it is fun to hear Apollo and Kirk go back and forth.
This is true. This is true. But you know what? He does savage that woman a little bit. He does savage her. So we might have to. Yeah. So you know what? This is going to be an upset. But I think I'm going to. You have convinced me that I think Leonardo da Vinci is going to defeat the god Apollo.
Especially since he's actually was a person.
Well, yes. You don't know that. You don't know that. You haven't met either of them, Kim.
I've never met Trump either, but I'm pretty sure he exists.
Well, you can go see him. You can go see him. But for right now, perception is reality. I perceive Apollo. And I've met Michael Forrest. So, you know, neither of us have met Da Vinci or John Rhys-Davies. So
get him back on. Get him on.
All right. Okay. So the second semifinal is Abraham Lincoln versus Stephen Hawking.
Abraham Lincoln, just because it's character gets go through so much bizarre
yeah.
jumping through reality. So I think I'd like to see more of that.
He definitely, yeah. I mean, here is the 16th president of the United States. And I think he's the 16th. I'm not sure. But he is the president of the United States who's trying to come to grips with the fact that he's been created out of rock, potentially. Is floating in space for a while. Beamed aboard a spaceship. Sees Uhura, a freed woman, which is his bad. He didn't realize. He didn't realize that that was his error. Then is transported back down to the planet. Oh, no. And Kim has been lost. I lost Kim. Go on without me or try to reconnect. Oh, my God. How can we do this? Let me stop this for a second. I should cut this, but I'm not going to. I think you should hear.
Oh, I'm back.
There you are. My gosh.
Oh,
the pains that we go through to make this happen. All right. Okay. So what did you last hear, Kim? I was making another good point, and then you tactically stop listening when I'm making really good points. You tactically cut out.
You're talking about Lincoln and Hawking.
All right. So I was saying that I think Lincoln probably gets the edge because he is a displaced president made from rock, hewn from rock, taken to a whole different spaceship. He sees Uhura. He's stunned by her, but he quickly adapts. He adapts in a presidential way. He's transported.
Gracious.
What's that?
He's very gracious and charming, as even Spock notes.
Yes, he's such a. It's a good performance. I got to be honest. It's like watching again. It's like, you know, I almost believe that's Lincoln. Like more than mm-hmm. I believe that's Captain Kirk, because Captain Kirk's kind of a jackass in this one.
Yes,
he's so irritable. He's so like, I'm going to do what I want. I want Lincoln to walk around my ship. I'm going to beam down with Lincoln because he said it's cool. You know, it's like, oh my God, Hawking. Hawking is great, but he is, as you say, a real person, and he has a short scene, and he might have cheated at cards because he drew 4 sevens. I mean, who gets that, right?
The uncertainty principle can't help you now, Stephen.
There was no uncertainty. I'm pretty sure he cheated. So I don't want to call him a cheat, but the fact that he had 4 sevens, boy, that's a tough call to make. That's a tough, you know. So let's push Abraham Lincoln through, and with the few scant minutes okay. we have left, we're going to go for it. So we have, ladies and gentlemen, in our final round, Leonardo da Vinci versus Abraham Lincoln. Kim, who you got?
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I might cut out for a second.
Oh, my God.
Versus Lincoln?
Lincoln versus Da Vinci.
Oh, okay. Again.
Who? Lincoln?
Lincoln, Yes.
Oh my gosh. All right. So you're fading out. So we're
Lincoln.
I think we might have to go for Lincoln. I love John Rhys Davies. I'm surprised he made it this far. and based like he is the MVP of that episode because he carried that episode on his back with the slow walking aliens with. And
flying away in his leather and balsa wood glider.
his terrible flying machine. You know, and here's the interesting thing is that both Janeway and Kirk were both really against character. Janeway, she allowed him so much. Like, well, all right, Da Vinci, I'll let you go along with me. All right, we'll play along with your games. Like, what are you talking about? They have your computer core. Lay down phaser fire, beam that thing up. They stole it from you. Take it back.
Yeah, she's very patient with it. Gives him a lot of latitude. Like he's a hologram.
He's a hologram, a computer hologram, and they're skulking around in some sort of like industrial park, like water treatment facility in Southern California.
Yeah.
Well, like terrible aliens.
I thought it looked very California too when they're out in the hills.
Terrible aliens on terrible watch duty are skulking around or like, you know, on like patrol, like, you know, all right, we want to make sure you guard those pipes. Okay, you got it, man. I'm going to guard those pipes. And the one job they have, they fail at. They can't guard the pipes well enough. Because Leonardo da Vinci and Catherine Janeway sneak in and steal the computer core right from them. And then they fly away in a hang glider.
70-year-old man wearing very heavy velvet robes somehow slipped past.
There was no activewear they could have put him in. There was no...
This woman with a very loud, annoying voice. This way!
We have to be quiet, Leonardo. Like, oh my gosh.
It's a computer. What if you were a bird? What? That whole conversation.
Oh my gosh.
If you were a bird? And look for worms. What just happened in this episode? Why are they flying away in this crazy glider that is just sitting on this hill?
Katrina, I must understand what is going on here. Why is your garb so different? And imagine you're a bird, Da Vinci. Like, what? If I was a bird, I would eat worms all day, Katrina.
Eat worms all day.
It is almost on the Holy Grail logic philosophy of how to determine a witch, isn't it? You know, it's like, if I float, then I must be a hologram. Oh,
so Lincoln?
I mean, they're both ridiculous episodes. Yes. They're both buoyed by incredible performances, and maybe because we've watched this episode all our lives, I think we're going to have to give it up for our 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, with really dark makeup, too. Did you notice that? He's like really tan.
Yes. Like, I don't know why. Although watching in the high def, you can really see like the patches of like wrinkles on his face.
And oh, gosh. Yeah, the high def was
weird. Hair gummed on there or something. Yeah, yes.
Jim, I put a little bit of spirit gum on my beard, you see, and it keeps it in place. I don't know why I said that, Jim. Perhaps I...
Look out, it's Jenkins gone.
Okay, this has been a great podcast. Thank you for listening. Oh, I forgot. Feral Audio is doing a survey. Go to feralaudio.com/survey and take this survey. It costs you nothing, and you could win like $100 or something like that. Feral Audio has been great. They bought me a ton of cool books, and we're reading up on all of them. Make sure you check out my Twitter, at Mike McCafferty, and Kim's at...
Flibba-dip.
Yeah.
Mike loves that.
Go to I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek Facebook page. We post all sorts of cool, interesting stuff there, including the bracket, which was there and then gone because Kim found numerous spelling errors and harangued me for it and then started to go off after Apollo, and I shut it all down because I don't care. I thought Apollo was going to win this. I was certain about that. But we have Abraham Lincoln versus John Rhys Davies. Yeah. not even Da Vinci. It was, I don't know if he really played a different character, does he? I mean, John Rhys Davies is always just John Rhys Davies.
Pretty much.
I mean, he's either an Egyptian archaeologist.
Pretty much Sala in Florence. he's Renaissance Florence.
He is an Egyptian archaeologist. He is an Italian Renaissance painter. He is a tree or he's a dwarf. And he's always John Rhys Davies. So maybe Maybe he wins everything. My God, I love him. Oh, and we love you, and we thank you for listening to this. My wife has just texted me, want to go in a minute? I want to go in one of those Earth minutes, if you keep on keeping track of that.
Space minute.
Space minute. But I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Fuller.
And I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Oh, my God. Catherine Janeway.
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
I don't you understand anything but this.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, 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 blah.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Young lady, I come from a time when men achieved power and wealth by standing on the backs of the poor, where prejudice and intolerance are commonplace and power is an end unto itself. And you're telling me that isn't how it is anymore?
That's right.
Maybe it's worth giving up cigars for, after all.
Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm
a bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a
rich. I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat.
I help people.
She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My